Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStewart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Abundant Life Ministries has moved to a new location in Palm City, Florida. We're currently meeting at the Palm City Civic Organization. It's located at 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City, Florida. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for weekly services. Join us now as we go to a service in progress.
Isaiah chapter 6. And this is the chapter about Isaiah having an encounter with the presence of God. It's a powerful passage of scriptures, and when we have an encounter with God, it changes the way we see things. In fact, it awakens us to a fresh revelation of who God is, but also it reveals who we are at the same time. And so I'm confident that God is looking to get His church ready, because the Word says He's coming back for a glorious church. Not a discouraged church, but a glorious church. Not a weary, worn out, frustrated, anxious church, but for a glorious church. And it says, without spots or wrinkles. And so when I think about spots and wrinkles, all of my shirts for Sunday, they always go to the dry cleaner. I expect them to come back with no spots, no wrinkles, and I kind of like them to be stiff enough to stand up just in case I need a little extra help. When the trumpet sounds, God is coming back for a church that doesn't need to have a fresh trip to the dry cleaners to get the spots out. Now, the church still has some spots and some wrinkles, but God is at work in His church right now to get us ready for His coming. This gives us a little story of King Uzziah. In the year King Uzziah died, that's all you need to know about Uzziah, okay? That's the story about Uzziah. He died that year. But that was the year that Isaiah saw the Lord. And so, in the midst of some of the things going on in the nation, some national changing of leaders and what's in the news, in the midst of this, I pray that we, God's people, see the Lord. Now, God may actually, with your physical eyes, give you a revelation of God in some way. There are some in this room this morning that have had some revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe it was in a vision, maybe it was a dream, or maybe even it was with your natural eye, I don't know. But some in this room this morning know exactly what happened to Isaiah, because you've had some God encounters on some level that have absolutely, without question, been an encounter with God, and nothing can take that from you. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, and this is what he saw. He was sitting on a lofty throne, a high throne, and the train of his robe filled the whole temple. And hovering around him were mighty seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, two they covered their feet, the remaining two they flew. These are angelic beings. They're not the things that we would typically see on earth. This is a different created being. These are angelic beings that serve God. And with the remaining two, they flew. In a great chorus, they sang. So we know these cherubim, they are singers. And their song that they sing is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." After a bit, when Sister Blanche comes out, we want to sing, "Holy, holy, holy." You know that song, don't you? That is the song, Lord God Almighty. This is the song. This is the chorus that Isaiah heard the cherubim singing to God. Holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled with His glory. The glorious singing, it shook the temple to its foundations. Now, that is a worship experience. And the entire sanctuary was filled with smoke. Now, it was not from a wet wood fire that's burning. It's the Shekinah glory of the Lord that is filling the entire sanctuary, the temple. Then Isaiah said, "My destruction is sealed." I think the King James says something like, "Woe is me. I am doomed." I think modern vernacular would say, "Help, I'm in trouble." Isaiah saw the Lord. He saw the holiness of God. He experienced the presence of God. And he said, "My destruction is sealed. Woe is me. I'm a sinful man and a member of a sinful race, unclean." He's saying that I am defiled. I have sinned. My family sinned. My nation is a sinful nation. And God, you're a holy God. And I can't be in your presence. I don't deserve to be there. And yet he said, "I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." I believe that God is wanting to reveal Himself to some people you're praying for. And I also believe that God is wanting to reveal Himself to those of us that are in this room and those who will join us by live stream today. I believe that God is again wanting to make Himself known to those who are seeking His presence, because we need to see the Lord in this day. One of the seraphim flew over to the altar, picked up a burning coal with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Now that's fire from the altar of God that's touched his lips. He's forgiven. And then he heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to my people? Who will go for us?" There's more than one scripture that talks about God searching for somebody that's willing to speak for Him, to stand up for Him, represent Him. God is speaking to Isaiah and he's saying, a general message. Who is willing? Who will go? Who will represent us? In other words, who is going to stand up on earth for the God who is in the heavens? Who is willing to bring their uncleanness and their sinfulness to a holy God to be transformed by God's presence and His burning cleansing fire, so that on the earth there can be a voice for God? And Isaiah volunteers, doesn't he? Look at what he says. He says, Lord, I'll go. I'll go. Send me. I want to invite you this morning to again this day open your heart to the Lord and say, God, I'm available to represent you on the earth today, in my day. I'm willing to come. I'm willing to seek you. I'm willing to be purged by your holiness and your purity. I'm willing to submit myself that I might be a vessel that you can speak through to my generation. Because all of us have someone that we speak to and we represent, have the opportunity to represent God too. Well, the Lord says, go. Isaiah said, Lord, send me. And God says, go. Tell my people. You will hear words, but you will not understand. And goes on to talk about the pending destruction that's going to come to Israel. I want to take you to a passage of scripture in Ezra that seems kind of difficult to understand at first. Ezra chapter 9 and 10. Ezra chapter 9 and 10. Every time I've read this passage, it's frustrated me. And I read it, and God always talks to me, and I always think, God, I'd like to share this as a part of a message, but I'm not sure how to do it because it just seems like it might get a little too close to home if God started dealing with us in a very personal way. Because most of us in this room are born again, and many of you who are watching, you're born again. And so you have experienced, you've tasted, you've seen that the Lord is good. And so many times once we've done that, we have this sense of security. It's sort of like we have our fire insurance policy. You know, it's active. And yet, often there are things that have not yet been dealt with in our life, or there are things that have moved back into our life that God wants to deal with so that His glory can actually be seen and come forth through our lips. And so, if you are perfect and you have no need of any growth in your spiritual life, then you're probably in the wrong place this morning. But if you recognize that God is not finished with you yet, and that God is still speaking, and God is still growing, and God is still calling, and God is working in your life, and God's not completed with that work, then you're in the right place. You see, I look at this passage in Ezra, and about 50,000 of the captives have come back from Babylon. That's a pretty good group of people. About 50,000 of them. And so we have priests, we have gatekeepers, we have singers, we have people with all kinds of gifts and from many different families that have been released to come back. The restoration is taking place. And so they've come back to the land. And they've come back to the land to actually rebuild the temple. And so they have a very important task to do. Israel had been deported for a long time because of their national and individual sin. They just had become a wicked people. And as a result of that, God had spoke to them through Moses that if the day comes that you neglect and you forsake and you turn from me and you rebel against me and you take on the gods and idols of the other nations around you, then I will bring punishment upon you. and from living under the blessing, you will rebel against me and you will put yourself under the curse. You remember that in Deuteronomy, that God says, please choose life. Choose life. I want you to choose life. Make the right choices as a nation. But if you don't, if you choose not to choose life, then understand when you choose not to choose life, you're choosing death. And death is going to bring pain and it's going to bring a lot of destruction to your nation. And so Israel knew that. So the day came, they're scattered, they're taken to Babylon. And now the 70 years are up and now they're beginning to be free to return. And these 50,000 have returned and they're there to build the temple. And you would think, well, surely after 70 years of captivity, that would be an education that you wouldn't quickly forget. But as Ezra comes in to evaluate what is going on in the land, he heard what was taking place. What he heard was in chapter 9 that many of the people of Israel, even some of the priests and the Levites, have not kept themselves separate or separated from the people in the land. Now that's not saying that they said hello to them. What it's saying is that they had begun to take on the sinful lifestyles of those people. There is a scripture in the New Testament that says, come out from them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. God's people are always supposed to be a separate people. One of the things I thought perhaps that the rabbi was going to get to the other night, which he didn't. I haven't heard him speak from the actual manifesto in Josiah's manifesto yet. But I thought maybe he was going to speak to that. But one of the things in the manifesto is that he says God's people need to be a separate people. That we are not to entertain the idolatry and the godlessness of the nation in which we live. We are to be separate from that. And Israel was as well. And so they have not kept themselves separate from the other peoples living in the land. Listen what they've done. They've taken up the detestable practices, the practices, the lifestyle. You remember the scripture that says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. In other words, you cannot fully love God and be in love with the world because the world is anti-Christ. And you cannot be fully in love with the world and at the same time be in love with God because it is a completely different kingdom. You're in the kingdom of God. You're not in the kingdom of darkness. You've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness and you've been brought into the kingdom of God. And so there is a different love life. There's a different lifestyle that is with those who are righteous. We do not bow to the gods of this age. We do not bend our knees. We do not submit ourselves to the destructive life and lifestyle of the wicked. And so Ezra, as he begins to be informed of what's going on, your people, Ezra, after 70 years have been brought back to their land, but in coming back, they already are beginning to take on the lifestyle of the world. And I know some of you are sitting here saying, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? What do you mean looking like the world? What does that mean? Well, could I suggest that it means that there's very little difference in what goes on in the church house, in the families, and what goes on in the families down the street that don't know God. It's when you have addictions that are ruling and reigning inside the families of God instead of being delivered and set free. Because God is a God that delivers, He forgives, He delivers, and He sets free. And so if we're loving God, the love of God, it's Himself, will begin to bring freedom and deliverance into our life. I'm not saying everybody's perfect. I'm just saying that we have a heart to be perfect. And we will allow God to do that work inside of us. Is anyone hearing what God's put on my heart this morning? And if in the house of God, if we have as many abortions going on inside the gatherings of the people of God as there are in the unrighteous, something's wrong. And if we have as many divorces in the house of God as we have with unbelievers, something is wrong. And I'll go on to say, if we have as much sickness and disease and infirmity in the house of God, then something's wrong in the house of God. We need to go back to the altar and say, God, cleanse us again. So this is a week national prayer, but you know, it's not just that we need a day of prayer. We need a day of humbling ourselves. We need to repent and turn. So this is what's going on. They had taken on the lifestyles. They had begun to be influenced by all these nations. Now look at verse 2. For the men of Israel had married women from these people and have taken them as their wives for their sons. Now we have intermarrying. And what God always warned Israel, do not intermarry, because when you do that, you will bring the customs and culture and the idolatry of that nation into your house. The enemy has always wanted to bring the culture, the idolatry, and the godlessness into our house. Now, I don't know about you. We have computers in our house. We have phones in our house. We have TVs in our house. Do you know all of those things can be great pipelines to bring the culture and bring the seduction and to bring the voice of our culture into our house? It is actually a bit of a war in our house to make sure that the outside culture doesn't come in and begin to dominate the atmosphere inside of our house. Because the music of the world is not a holy, holy, holy song. And the dress style of the world is not a modest and uplifting and moral message. And so, I don't know about your house, but in our house, we actually have to change channels, and we don't even have, we're not subscribed to one of the TV networks. We have a computer so we can choose what we're going to watch with a little more clarity. I don't like all the commercials because there is so much garbage that comes into our house through this. I mean, I've come out of a time of prayer and turned the TV on, and there's garbage that comes out, and in moments, I am grieved in my spirit. I've just been in the presence of God. And then immediately I'm sensing that I am bringing the rottenness of the world right into my house. And the whole mindset of, well, let me just tell you, when I see a man kissing a man, I feel like throwing a rock at the TV. Or a woman kissing a woman. You know, there used to be a day if a man kissed a man, it could be a holy kiss. Today, it's a wicked kiss on most occasions. And my wife and I, when we see this kind of a culture being forced upon us, we don't really choose that it's going to be there. It just shows up there. We realize that we have to be very careful that we do not intermarry with it. And intermarry is where we begin to produce children that have that mindset. When we intermarry with the spirit of the age, then we're going to begin to produce children after the kind of the unrighteous instead of after the righteousness that is who we are. Somebody's going to say, oh boy, you know, You're getting into the weeds this morning, Pastor. Don't talk to us about these kinds of things. I have to talk to you about these kinds of things. Because if we want to enjoy the blessings of God, then we have to understand that our God is a holy God. And we have to turn from those things that would entice us. Can I share something with you that I just wrote? Tom Creighton used to tell me, he said, you know, when he grew up, they had clotheslines. We had clotheslines when I grew up too. He was a little older than me. But he said, we grew up in these row houses. So we didn't have backyards with fences. So it's like everybody could see everything. So, you know, when you put your laundry out, everybody's socks were on the line. Everybody's undies are on the line. Everybody's everything is out there on the line, right? And so he said, you know, it was a little embarrassing, but it is what it is. That's what we had. So we just, you know, but the neighbors, they were in the same boat as we were. So we put our stuff up and they put their stuff up. And we certainly were not trying to show off. We didn't have enough that we wanted to show off anything that we had. And so sometimes I may speak from what God's saying to me because I don't feel the freedom to speak from what I may see in others' life, so I try to be cautious with that, but let me share some thoughts. As I have had some fresh revelation of the Lord in the last few days, I couldn't help but just be pulled into God's presence and recognize that yes, all glory, honor, and praise. And then these two, glory, honor, and praise, those are words we all have, right? Glory, honor, and praise we give to God. Glory, honor, and praise. But then the Father said, but Jonathan, I want more than that. I want all recognition and proclamation to be given to me too. I want you to give me glory, honor, and praise. I want you to sing the songs, but I want you also to acknowledge me. I want you to look to me. I want you to search for me. I want you to find me. I want you to focus on me in this dark world. I want you to have your eyes set, and I want you to make proclamation that lifts up my name. I want what comes out of your mouth to not be an earthly sewer. I want your mouth to be cleansed. Isaiah had an issue with his mouth. What he spoke was we're a sinful people. He admitted what he was. So what did God do? God actually sent the seraphim to bring a burning coal of fire to put in his mouth, to purge it, to purify it, to cleanse it. And I believe that the church has become too sloppy with our mouths.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Even in the little things never seemed too big to me, and the things I thought didn't matter much at all. as simple as my daily bread, to the strength I need to get out of bed, when I fly or when I'm about to fall. Oh, it's you.